Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Speaking of great players, one of the reasons that we love having you on is the deep dives that you do analytic wise. And you tweeted out and you wrote about it on your Star Stack. Jason Robertson's next contract predicted at 8 years, $12.4 million per the Twins model, a forward making slightly more than the other $12 million wingers like Mitch Marner, Connor, meaning Kyle Connor, who Robertson is slightly better than, is a good deal in your opinion. So you are pro Robertson. Get it done. Pay him over the Mikko Rantanen mark just a slight bit at 12.4.
Yeah, I understand the impulse, right? Like, I feel like the impulse for a lot of fans is that, well, you can't run it back. And maybe they see some similarities with Toronto, for example, right? Toronto was a team that they had their core. They kept making the playoffs and it didn't matter. And they kept running it back, However, there was a difference, right? The key difference is that that team couldn't make it out of the first round. Also, Toronto, which never had a true number one defender, Dallas does. Toronto for the longest time didn't have a genuine starting goaltender. Dallas does, although there are some asterisks. We don't have to get into the Jake Ottinger discussion just yet, but he is their starter. He is the number one goaltender, and I don't think there's any dispute in that. And so the point is, like, when I look at all of the, you know, when you think about kind of the concept of running it back, I think a lot of this kind of stems from, like, darn, we didn't win the cup. That's very different than, like, your team is really just, like, not good enough and is built deficiently like the Toronto Maple Leafs. The irony being that, like, well, the last year before they did break up the core, they took the eventual Stanley Cup winners to seven games, right? And then what happened? You got rid of Mitch Marner, a really fantastic winger, two-way winger. That's the important part, a two-way winger, Gavin.
Yeah.
A two-way winger, played big minutes, really important from shift to shift. And what did Toronto turn into once they lost him?
Yeah.
Like a tanking team. Like, not even a team that might have, like, could have made the playoffs. They just, like, didn't have as many injuries. No. This was a bottom five team. And they just won the first round pick, right? The first overall. And so I'm like, does that not sound familiar? Now, yes, Marner plays on the PK. Robertson doesn't, even though I think he should be tried there. Neither here nor there. But does that not sound familiar?
I completely agree. It sounds very familiar. And what I put a lot of stock into, David, is Jason Robertson already had good starts going into this year. I felt he really improved in other areas as a player. I thought his forechecking was very impressive. I thought he was more physical. I thought he fought his way into the dirty area in front of the net. He's not afraid to do that. I just saw a lot of things from Jason Robertson. I'm not saying that I hadn't seen him in years past, but, you know, one of the things you continue to point out is how underrated he is as a two-way forward.
Yeah, it's something that, so in my piece, I think one of the, and I realize, like, you know, I've always kind of, like, tried to kind of be clear about, you know, what I think the numbers are kind of saying, and that I think just because a defender does, or just because a player doesn't defend in a way that maybe we're kind of, like, used to, doesn't mean that the end result is not the same. I mean, you know, nobody is saying that, for example, Robertson is Patrice Bergeron, but when his defensive metrics are comparable to, like, Joel Eriksson Ek and Yanni Gourde and Sean Couturier, and you don't see any other winger that produce, or any other forward that produces at the level Robertson does in some of these comparisons in some of these numbers, at minimum, you have to start question or asking yourself, well, am I just not noticing that? Is there something in this game that maybe I don't appreciate or maybe I don't focus on? And even then, I think you see this a lot in Robertson's never going to be able to kind of like back check the way that Bergeron does because he doesn't have the speed. But, you know, when I like go back and watch the tape and I rewatch the series because I've kind of been doing some autopsy reports, like, you know, why Dallas's defense didn't hold up. Looking back at Maverick Bork, who I think was fantastic. One of the things that you kind of see pretty consistently is that Robertson, I think his active defense is quite good. It's something that kind of maybe wasn't as honed as it was in years past, which is maybe like, I think a good sign for people looking at Wyatt Johnson, because we've always assumed he'll take the next step because he plays responsibly, but it's never really shown up in the numbers, right? So I think you look at that and you also look at the way he plays offensively that I think also affects how much he limits himself and the team from playing defense. Like Alex Tuch has been a great counterexample. Like if you watch Alex Tuch in these playoffs, really great on the rush, fast, big dude, looks the part, seems to play the part. But every time he's coming down his lane, he's taken this like sharp angle shot that hits the boards and tees up the opponent for a counter rush.
Mm-hmm.
Robertson never does that. And that's important. Like it's important that, you know, when like a really gifted offensive player is not just pressuring the opponent, but also being smart about that pressure. And Tuch is a great example how if you are not smart about your offense, if you're not creative, if you're not able to extend those shifts and look for the best option as opposed to just spamming the net, then that can become offense going the other way. Robertson never, ever does that. And I felt like that. I mean, to me, Alex Tuch being on the top line really, I think, hurt them in the Montreal series. And sure enough, like Lindy Ruff, too little too late, but eventually took him off that top line. But I think there's just so many layers to Robertson's game that don't go appreciated just because, you know, he isn't able to blow up a guy in you know, center ice. Or, you know, run like a hacky podcast. Like, I mean, to me, Robertson really is, I think he really is the truth. That doesn't mean I feel like there's just no such thing as a, you know, not that we're going to get into like trade talk, because, you know, that's not something you want to do. And like, I don't really want to do that either. But
yeah,
to me, it's, I guess, think about it this way, and I'll ask you this question. That way we can bring you into this conversation. This is not the David Castillo show. Come on, man. This is Spits and Stills, I think was the art. the potential rebranding. Who is, in your opinion, not the best forward, Gavin, but the most important forward? And this is not necessarily rhetorical, just because we're talking about Robertson, doesn't have to be rhetorical. But who is the most important forward to the Dallas Stars?
Mikko Rantanen.
Okay, why is that?
I feel as though when Mikko Rantanen's on the ice, healthy and playing his game, he opens up space for others. In other words, that bumper position is not as tightly covered because you cannot leave Mikko Rantanen open in the slot. So I think he does a lot of things that need to be accounted for by teams that a lot of players don't necessarily, and that opens up other players on the ice. And when called upon, he certainly puts up the point. I mean, he's a 100-plus point player a year. So I think he does a lot of things. And I like his aggression at times as well. I mean, it can get a little overzealous with time in the penalty box, and I'm hoping that that's cut down next year. But those are the reasons that I feel, you know, he's best. His passing ability is amazing, you know, wherever he is on the ice. So I just think he's an elite player. And probably a close second would be Wyatt Johnston. Does everything right. Great scoring ability, great touch, good defensive player, really good up the middle. So that would be my second.
So Robertson is the third best forward in your, or third most important forward in your opinion.
I would say so.
See, and I would just disagree completely. Like I, to me, and this is why I asked use the word that I did, because I think there is a distinction between best forward and most important. I agree with you. I think in a vacuum, if you want to argue that Rantanen is the best forward, I think he totally has a case, right? I mean, there's just no substitute for a third period hat trick to seal a series. But to me, when I think of most important forward, I think of not necessarily the greatest advantage that Dallas can leverage, but the player that can forge, I think, the greatest relationship, basically the player that I think can raise the team's floor as much as their ceiling. And I feel like Rantanen's floor is actually quite bad. Like, his floor is taken, you know, a silly penalty. Not just a penalty, but, like, you know, the kind of penalties we don't, like, even us as Stars fans don't want to see in the game. You know, like that hit on Coronado. Also, Rantanen is not a good defensive forward. I would say the same with Johnston. Johnston, I think he's developing into that. He's not there yet. And we saw that this year on the ice, right? I mean, the line that struggled the most was the Johnston-Rantanen pair, and that's because, yes, partly because, well, Rantanen had to recover from, like, you know, an MCL tear, but also because they don't defend well. And I think Johnston can develop into that, but as is, Dallas needs to worry about finding those two the right partner. Dallas doesn't need to worry about finding Robertson the right partner, because he's going to raise the floor of whoever he's playing with while still maintaining a high ceiling. And I think, to me, that combo is unbeatable. And that's why I feel like Robertson, in my opinion, is Dallas's most important forward. Sure, probably not the guy you can expect to, you know, score the goal in like the last 10 seconds. And the only guy you can trust to shoot the puck is between Robertson, Johnston, and Rantanen. But over the course of 60 minutes, I feel like Robertson just is, I think he's got it all. The aesthetic may not match, but he's got it all.
I feel like we should have started with this rather than talk about Vancouver head coaching vacancy. Why'd you do that?
You know, if you had called the show Spits and Suds, you know, Spits and Suds. Oh my God. I'm like, it's,
yeah.
Spits and Stills is what I was going with.
You appear on so many podcasts, you can't even get the name right. It's okay. it's okay.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, you're right. I don't want to talk trade scenarios, but
But you do want to talk trade scenarios.
Well, one of our Spits and Sudsies threw something out, and it got me thinking.
All right, let's go.
All right. San Jose gives you the number 2 and number 20 pick for Jason Robertson.
No. You know, okay. I don't think that's so real quick, chew on this while I kind of talk about that. Which is that I offered, because I feel like there are other players on this team who could relieve cap while also being able to potentially make a lateral move. And I think that's someone like Thomas Harley, who I went on Dimitri's Discord and conversed and did some idiotic trade scenarios with some San Jose fans who actually like
who Dimitri is first.
Dimitri Filipovich for the PDO yes. podcast. And offered them Thomas Harley for Sam Dickinson, also a left-handed defenseman, Colin Graf, and San Jose's 2026 second rounder this season. They said yes. Chew on that real quick. We can talk about that one, or we can ignore it. But getting back to the offer, I think the reason why I say no is that, for one, San Jose is not interested in a forward. That's why I offered Thomas Harley to San Jose, because I thought that made sense. Like, that's a team that really needs, in fact, they need a whole blue line, right? Like, I think their entire decor, except for maybe one guy, is UFA. But the way that San Jose is built, if you look at not just the obvious talents, like Will Smith, obviously Celebrini, But they're prospects like Chernyshov. Philip Bystedt is a guy that looks really good. I don't think that's a team that's really interested in kind of adding forwards, and therefore I don't think it's a team that, yes, of course, you know, they're going to be interested in Robertson for obvious reasons, but nonetheless, for me, the main thing is that in this draft, right, it could go a number of different ways. And so if you're looking at the second round pick as somebody that could replace Robertson, even if it's Gavin McKenna, McKenna's not that guy. McKenna is, I think, I love his game, but he is, there is definitely some risk there, more so than in previous years. And so if that happens, if they don't go, you know, if McKenna drops down, that's a risk. If they take McKenna and you get someone like Chase Reed, who's one of the best defenders in the draft, the defenders like in this draft are kind of all like, there's like six or seven of them that are all in this little bucket that in no way resembles like the year when it was like Hughes and, you know, Hughes at the top. And then right. You had like Bouchard and Dobson. Like, this is not that group. So Chase Reed, Albert Smits, Carson Carrolls, Daxon Rudolph, who I think is like a huge red flag. I don't like him personally, but anyways. And yeah, I Keaton Verhoeff, like I don't, this is not the group to make that move. I think it was another draft. Yes, I think you consider it, but it's not. So don't.
I think that's very fair. The only reason I was thinking it, if negotiations break down, but I have the feeling that then if they broke down, Robertson might just play on his qualifying offer.
And real quick, I would just to add one more thing. I do like the concept. I don't want to like minimize, because I think the only way that a Robertson trade works is if you completely like strip the money out of it. Like if you give yourself pretty much all of his contract and you're taking on like an entry-level contributor the same way Carolina took on Stankoven and a bunch of assets. Like that's the trade that you can potentially win, because we saw how Carolina won with it. Granted, it involved a lot of other moves like assets to eventually trade for Keandre Miller. Fantastic. And also money for Nikolaj Ehlers. But I like that wavelength. That to me, that's way more sensible than like, like a one for one where it's like trading Robertson for a dude that people maybe think is comparable, but actually isn't. And you don't really give yourself the cap relief that you would need to add something else to make enough of an impact to offset that. Like, yeah. So I like that wavelength. I like where that person is headed.
This was a healthy discussion. As always, David, tell us what you have coming up on your Substack. That's called Star Stack, or are you doing anything with D Magazine?
That's it, man. That's all the time we got.
Well,
I'm sorry. Should I have waited to ask that? Should I have asked that afterwards?
Yeah, I think that's usually it's 45 minutes, David.
Okay. All right. Time flies, man. It's Gavin hanging out with Gavin.
No, I have, unless you have another topic that you want to bring to the table, then we can certainly do that, David. But those are my questions that I came up with to talk to you about today.
Not a whole. So with Star Stack, I will be writing about, it's so fitting that we had discussion today. I will be writing about the only trade scenario involving Jason Robertson that could or should be entertained. So I'm very pro Robertson. He should not be traded under any reasonable circumstance, but if there are unreasonable circumstances, then we can maybe entertain that. But so look out for that stuff at Star Stack. It's the only other Robertson piece I'm going to write that involves the trade shenanigans, because otherwise not really big into, you know, a lot of the theory crafting that we tend to get. So look out for that. Also, I will have a preview at Sticks and Salvos of the Avalanche versus Knights. That'll be tomorrow morning at 8:30. And then the morning after that, I'll also have a preview for the Hurricanes and Canadian series. And of course, I'll continue. Like I said, I'm going to do some film room work on Maverick Bourque in the playoffs, because I thought he was fantastic. And so, yeah, just nothing for D Magazine yet, but probably next month.
Well, I'll end on this then. One of the things I did talk to Sean about, and it is interesting, and this is really the first year I've seen it. It might be an anomaly, David, but granted, they're all playing well right now, but no marquee goaltenders in the final four. And it's interesting that these teams like Colorado using two goaltenders in a series. I wonder if this is a trend or if this is just for this year.
Well, I mean, it's Prashant Iyer, who is a fantastic Detroit writer, won't hold it against him that he's a Red Wings fan because he's just a brilliant dude, super analytics nerd, right? He did some pretty heavy research into whether or not it is wise to spend a lot of money on goaltending. And the unanimous conclusion was no, it's not. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't win with a number one highly paid goalie, just that in general, it's not a position that you want to overspend on because it can be so erratic.
Freaky, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's the perfect word. And so I think it makes more sense to key in on just kind of, you know, finding that, you know, riding the wave at just the right time. Right. And finding those goaltenders that can kind of give you those streaks. You know, we've seen like how often Colorado has kind of made it work. And so I think that is a sign of things to come. And that's not to say that like, that's not to say Dallas and, you know, teams like Dallas and Boston need to necessarily have buyer's remorse. You know, you look even like Florida, right? You know, Sergei Bobrovsky has a massive contract. They, you know, ended up winning two cups, but I also think those are anomalies. And yeah, it's one of the reasons why the Robertson trade stuff bothers me. I'm like, dude, there were like three players that I would give up before Robertson who I think are not near as valuable in proportion to position that Robertson is. And so I don't know why Robertson has made the fall guy when that would much rather give up more than a few contracts. We don't need to name names.
Yeah, no, but I understand what you're saying. It is fascinating, you know, similar to for a long time, the running back position was not as important in the NFL and multiple backs getting the job done. Now it seems as though we are trending back to the running backs having importance if they are of that, you know, elite magnitude. So I just like looking at trends and I just noticed that this year. And all four, four to five goalies, they're playing really well right now. So it's not like we're not seeing, you know, quality goaltending. It's just fascinating that the, you know, the names like Hellebuck, Shesterkin, you know, name the goaltenders, Vasilevsky, you know, they're not in it. So it's really interesting. David, as always, my friend, thank you. See, I extended that just for you.
Oh, man. Well, listen, man, no matter what I say, Gavin, I love you. You're the best and really keep up the inspired work.
Appreciate it, man. Love you back. It's always a great conversation with David Castillo. Let's support David. You can go to his Twitter, David Castillo, where he releases all kinds of information, a great analytics breakdown, and you can support him through his Substack at Stars Stack, as well as his other ventures, D Magazine and more. He has a link tree right on his Twitter page, so you can see all the stuff that David is up to. Special thanks to Gregory Finley, our producer of this fine program, as we continue to push out all kinds of content here on Spits and Suds. I do want to remind you, please press the subscribe button. Please tell your friends. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can always leave us a review and say that you like the guests on Spits and Suds. That helps out as well. We absolutely love providing you with these off-season episodes, but it is really important that you support the on-time experts or you're supporting Spits and Suds so we can grow this thing together. The core purpose when we started this program was to spread the good word about hockey throughout DFW. So proud to say that we're a small portion of that, and we want to continue doing that. Until our next podcast, it's going to happen soon, I promise. Have a great day, everyone. We'll be right back.
as the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup. Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.